5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Bill, stop playing with your nipples.
Put moron number two on the phone.
Jim, it's cold.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Well, that's what the host Mary had to say to Bill.
Yes.
Outside her own studio. Stop playing with your nipples. It's just extraordinary what goes on. I'll tell you what, big show, Damo coming in. We've still got lots of footy to discuss.
We have.
Even though we're mid-Olympics, there's lots of AFL happening there.
Yep.
Stories trending unusual at the big sporting event in Japan coming up.
That's it.
Because Fats had his eye across the whole lot.
Well.
And then we might just revisit a chat we had with an Olympian who's going to win a gold medal.
Yes.
That's pretty much how we're going to frame that one.
That's exactly.
Anyway, that's coming up later on. Hello to you, Willis.
G'day, Jimmy boy. Great to be with you. Great to be alive, isn't it? There's plenty happening in the world. We open up on Wednesday.
Yes, hopefully.
Well, we will, Jim. We will.
Right.
And hello to you, Rabs.
Floats it in the Gorn direction. Oh. Waitman!
Oh,
what
yes.
about that climb? Tiny little man just sat on Max's head.
Where are your knackers?
Oh, good. That's capturing the moment. That's what that is. That's what great commentary sounds like, Fat.
I know. Basil did it today.
Oh, didn't he just? We're going to hear that now?
Well, hang on. We've got a medal update tally, but we should the first thing, the biggest news, of course, with the big sporting event in Japan, yes. Jim, is this.
To become a legend, you have to beat a legend, and that's what we've seen. Australia win gold. Ariane Titmus, confirmation, a coronation. We can start the celebration for Australia. Arnie gets it done.
Bang!
A coronation, we can start the celebration.
Yes, Bill.
What's that?
Coronation's when you crown someone.
Right. Hey, well done to her, because I tell you what, Jim, we watched the whole race.
Oh,
we
brilliant.
Sat here.
How good.
How nervous do you get? I know.
Well, you certainly did.
Well, you do, because you don't know them, but it's just the expectation of winning
but
a gold for Australia.
You can't deliver better than that. She was nearly a body length down halfway through.
Spot on.
And then proceeded to mow the greatest female swimmer that the Cape has ever seen down. And that last 50 metres was just pulsating.
Beautiful.
That's as good as it gets.
Oh, beautifully timed run. It really was. And the coach, do you see a coach up in the stands?
He started drying the fence.
He went bunter.
He did.
Bunter,
completely.
It was unbelievable. So a medal tally update, if you don't
come
mind.
On.
At the minute, we have 2 gold medals. See what we did there? The four by 100 relay.
Spandau
and, of course,
ballet, yes.
Arnie.
Yes.
Well done to her. We have 1 silver.
You got the silver.
The great Keith Richards.
What is that?
Oh, yeah. That's the Rolling Stones. That's Keith. Yeah, doing some nice vocal work.
You got the silver.
All right, I like that. So what are you going with this one?
Next one will be good. I'm not sure, Jim. What do we got for bronze?
Bronze.
What's that?
Just
how many of them we got?
NWA. We've got 3
NWA.
3 bronzes.
NWA.
I think it is. They're the most dangerous, world's most dangerous group, I reckon, NWA.
So, Bill, that's not bad.
3 bronze. So we have a total of 6 medals.
Gold.
Which is the same as Japan, the host nation.
They've got a few more gold.
They've got 5 gold, Jim.
Yes,
and
but
done to the Aussies. That's good. It is good watching. Well done to everyone there. But there are some other sports going on in this world, Jimmy boy, of course.
Please.
So let's have a good look at them. And our favourite team, other than their footy teams, is Melbourne Storm.
Rugby league.
They've won 15 in a row, Jim.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
15
in a
row,
if you don't mind. And well done to Josh Adokar. You can raise the bat, son.
Kamita inside the 10. Hughes to Hines. Hines to Olam. Here's Josh Adokar. Oh, now you can raise the bat, son. Josh Adokar's got 100. And surely the Storm are home.
His 100th try, Jim.
Unbelievable.
Well done to Josh Adokar. And Pappenhausen was back too.
Mm-hmm.
They had a good gutsy win because the Cowboys were good. They took it right up to the Storm. They won 20-16 in the end, and Pappenhausen back was really good. That's the good news. Some bad news out of this, and you won't like this, Jim.
What?
Our good friend in here, Dale Finucane,
yes,
has just told him he's leaving.
Oh, no, I saw that. Cronulla.
Four-year deal.
Oh, what? We keep losing our best.
Well, we got Josh Addo-Carr going.
What a waste of energy.
It is. Josh Addo-Carr going and now Dale Finucane going.
We don't need that.
Gee, they just take
off. The boy from Bega.
The Bega.
The Bega Bomber.
Yes.
Bega Bomber.
What the hell?
No.
Our best players keep getting ripped off us.
And a good bloke and a good player, so we'll miss him. What about the golf?
Oh, Minji Lee, what a star.
Minji Lee.
The only thing she hadn't done is won a major, now she has. Came from behind too, came from a mile back.
Seven shots behind and one in the playoff.
First playoff hole, brilliant. She, and of course, her brother won a month ago, Scottish Open. The great golfing family from the West. I think they're both members at Royal Fremantle.
They are.
And just a ripper setup. I love them both, and she is a bloody star. So well done to her. Heads into the Olympics now.
She does, does she? Big couple of weeks for the Lees, hasn't she? And here it is here when she won the Evian Championship.
The Aussie rules.
Aussie rules.
Minji Lee, with a comeback for the ages, is finally a major champion.
We have got a huge heritage of being incredibly good in the female golf space.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm trying to think of the lady who won from nowhere last year.
Yeah, well,
and she's also in the Australian Olympic team. Yeah.
Yes,
and
Hannah.
Hannah Green, and she arrived at the airport, and they were all
waiting for her.
Crews there didn't know who she was.
So she walked past them. She went back to them and said, who are you waiting for? And they said, oh, this golfer, she just won, Hannah Green. She goes, I'm Hannah.
Yes, she did. She had to introduce herself to them. So that's, of course, brilliant. So well done to Minji Lee Star.
Did they play down at 13th Beach during the summer?
The girls? No. Oh, yeah, they have a double tournament, male and female.
Yeah, they did play. I was watching it. She was very good. Just the cricket, Aaron Finch is coming back home. He's hurt his knee. He's not playing. And they lost. You see the third one day. The second one was not played. But the third one day, Jim, they were six for 45,
I'm not sure
the Aussies.
What we're doing. Well, we haven't got our best side there. Let's be brutally honest. But still, we'd like them to be going better. All right, so what are we doing next, Fat? I'm interested in this.
Because the big sporting event over there in Japan, there's a lot of trending, unusual stories, Jim, and stand by. We've got a new opener.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I went to a joint, Jim. It was that small that I put my key in the front door and it opened the back door. Shebang. Yeah. Peter and Kiel.
Shebang.
James Brayshaw, Binns Brownless. This is Triple M's Rush Hour.
Nobody has their finger on the pulse of Tokyo quite like Billy Brownless.
Now, we're what are we doing?
This is the Rush Hours. What stories are trending today from the big sporting event in Japan?
That's your opener.
That's it, Jim.
It's almost the exact same as the last one.
It is. Yeah. Except for the little bit off
little
the
bit
top.
Off the top.
Yeah. People would have noticed.
And then the gong.
The rush out.
Yeah.
Is there a gong in there?
Put a gong in there as well.
That's what it's going to get.
Very quickly, I would have thought.
Well, Jim, there's a lot of countries that do the broadcasting of the Olympics, of course. They all love to see their own country in there, but they all love to see all the other different countries, and especially the opening ceremony, Jim. And have a listen how Canada, who are a pretty smart country, you would have thought, and we're quite close to Canada. You reckon they would know the Australian flag bearers?
And you know what? I think they had two women carry the flag. Kate Campbell, the swimmer, and Patty Mills, the basketball player. So there you go. Question
That's
answered.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it.
That's how you do it. Two women carrying the flag.
Oh, I think Patty's happy with that.
Patty Mills. Surely the Canadian would know Patty Mills, wouldn't he?
You'd hope. Well, speaking of which, what about the Dream Team? Have some of that.
Well, they're not the Dream.
The French just had their way with them.
It was a nightmare, Jim.
It was.
No Dream Team there.
Right, are we going to discuss the coverage at any stage?
Well, we'll get there.
Gazy.
What happened? Him and Murray, what happened?
Murray.
Hey, it's a different basketball game, isn't it? It's not like the NBA. It's a tougher game, this one.
They let them go a bit more.
Oh, don't
even I can see that, and I'm not an aficionado.
Yeah.
They do. They let them go.
So what was Gazy? What was he doing?
Oh, no, I like it. We're going to have to forensically examine what they do at night.
That's the Canadian broadcasters, Jim.
Yes.
The South Korean broadcasters.
Yes.
And they thought they'd what they'd do is put photos up and facts about each country as the athletes walked out onto the arena.
Well,
okay,
I saw that, yes. Yeah,
which was quite nice. So Great Britain, they walked on and there's a photo of the Queen.
Yes.
El Salvador, Jim, and they put up the cryptocurrency.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yes. What else? Dracula for the Romanians when they walked out.
Romanians.
What are they called, the Romanians?
The Romanians.
Romanians. for Italy, Jim, yes. What do you think they put up?
The Colosseum.
A pizza.
Pizza.
They put up a pizza, okay. Yes. Norway, salmon.
Right. And?
So Ukraine walk out. Guess what they put up, Jim?
Or don't.
Put up a photo of Chernobyl.
That's not what you want.
Jim, Chernobyl disaster.
The worst nuclear disaster ever, in history.
In the history, Jim.
Well, I don't think that's not a props.
No, the Marshall Islands. Now, I'm not sure where the Marshall Islands are, but they walked out in the arena. And they were described as once a nuclear test site for the United States. Oh, no. They put that up, Jim.
Come on.
If you don't mind. So I don't think that went down too well.
It didn't
well.
Go down well.
They had to apologise for that, the South Koreans there. Yes. And one last one, this morning in the men's triathlon, the boys are all ready to go to dive into the water, half dive in. Guess what was there? A TV media boat. The other half
stopped them from diving in.
Stopped them from diving in. They couldn't jump in. There's this media boat in the road. So everyone out of the water. Regroup, and it started 20 minutes later.
You can't believe that.
Oh, it's the Olympic Games.
Our bloke got his nose broken before it even started.
Did he?
He jumps in, what, gets a boot in the head, his nose gets broken, and the bloody race hadn't even started.
Three Aussies in there, but, come on, mate, the boat and the road. Anyway, there's always a couple of disasters, but speaking of disasters, what are you saying about Gazy?
Oh, no. We're just going to need to forensically examine.
Righto. We'll have a look. Who should we watch in the...
Those two, Gazy and Birrarung.
Murray and Murray. Righto.
Just late night, and I'm interested in how they're styling things.
Oh, I like listening to Bruce. Do you see Bruce and Joanna Griggs the other day?
They're all stars, by the way. And our man, the Duke.
Duke, good.
Duke doing a beautiful job.
I heard Emma Friedman this morning. Yeah, she's going
magnificent.
Well.
Yeah. No, the coverage is brilliant. We just are always on Gazy watch.
And what's it rating, by the way?
Oh, enormous.
Tell me, Channel 7,
extraordinary.
Please.
Extraordinary.
Is it? It would be huge.
Well, it would be because half of the bloody country can't do anything else. But the coverage has been great. Yeah.
I love it.
We need to get a tape run over Gazy.
Yep.
And just replay some of his best stuff.
Come on, Pumpkinhead.
Oh,
there's a gong. That might be it, Jim.
Plenty of footy to discuss. Damien Barrett's in the studio shortly, but before that, we're going to reflect on a golden interview from the Rush Hour.
Oh.
JB and Bill, Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I'm not saying it's a fait accompli, but I'm saying that it's a fate.
Wow.
And not complete Bill, yet.
James Brayshaw, Anthony William Brownless.
That's cock to me.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour. We've got a brand new segment, JB.
Oh.
It's a Rush Hour.
Gold, my friend.
Golden cocker.
Now, Bill. Gold today, Jim.
Now, Bill.
Yes. Just call me Arnie Titmuss.
What we're doing here is we're just rehashing interviews we've done with Olympians who might win, so we can take some credit.
Exactly.
That's pretty much how this has been framed.
You could not be more spot on.
That's pretty much what we're doing here. And just have a listen to this one with the magnificent Sally Fitzgibbons, who, of course, is highly likely to win gold in the surfing. Mm-hmm. Listen to Fat trying to act as if he can talk the lingo.
Jim, I am amped to talk to this lady coming up next.
Bill.
Sally Fitzgibbons, and it's great to drop in with you, Sal.
Oh,
you guys are too kind. Before I know it, the day's gone.
A grimmy or a grommet or a groom, as we call it in the industry. Hey, what's it like to actually be in the green room?
It is. I reckon it's the most underrated. You know, everyone just says, you just stand there, for those who don't surf. It's like the hardest thing in surfing. It's the holy grail.
The green room, Jim.
Sal, can you hang on? And we've got lots more we want to talk to you about, but only if Bill promises to never, ever mention another horrible surfing term to try and sound cool. Fat?
It sounded quite natural.
Exactly. The men in the grey suits, Jim, you got to watch them out for them out there.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you, Sal. I'm about to hang 11.
Hang 11.
You know what a hang 11 is, Jim? It's when you surf nude.
Oh.
Is that right?
So that's it.
Yeah, just natural.
That's it.
Sal said I was.
We had to do that a year out. So that Sal could recover enough to surf in the Olympics.
In cheer, just
that's coming up on Wednesday, by the way, the final.
I know.
And our other girl, Steph Gilmore, Sal told us that the waves are crap.
Yeah. Which so, they were.
And they are.
Isn't there a typhoon?
Steph allowed one to go past and didn't get another wave.
Oh,
she could. Bill, 20-minute heat and not another wave came along.
Oh, no.
So that wasn't her fault.
Is the typhoon still coming? I hope they were hoping it'd be bigger waves.
Now, Jess Fox.
Yes.
Our girl.
Oh, Jim.
She's winning. She just wins.
How good is she? Have you seen the body weight? What do you call that here?
Core strength.
Core strength, mate.
She just wins, Jess. So that's coming up, I think, tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we'll have a bit of our interview with her.
And good luck to Sel. Just a good, upbeat girl. We love her.
Speaking of upbeat, Damien Barrett is about to enter the studio round 19.
He's not upbeat.
Of AFL action. JB and Bill on Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
She pulls out a rectal thermometer.
I beg your pardon? I'd packed up my stuff.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour round 19 of the AFL season has been run and won.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session.
Gold for Australia. We've already done Arnie Titmus, but we've got to revisit it. How good?
Have you got the bug?
How good? I think it's right up there with the great Australian sporting moments.
I totally agree.
The way she swam that race, Bill, and I know you've discussed it already, but time to run and,
it was good. Motor down the champ.
What about how nervous she gets? I wouldn't even know Arnie if she walked through the doors. But you get so nervous for it, don't you?
Geez, she just came. How good. You're thinking, right, 100 to go. Yeah. This is when you lay it down. And she was superb.
It was just beautifully timed.
I love it. Speaking of timing, Geelong doing the same thing.
Yeah, they are. They are. And also, too, producing another X factor potentially in Asava Radigalia. We know he's had ability for some time, but it took until game number 50, which it was.
Yep.
Against Richmond on the weekend, Bill, for him to kick the four goals and look as comfortable as any player on the ground in the competition even. And there's just another element now, another dynamic to that forward line. And with Jeremy Cameron still expected to get back round 22, round 23, Rowan's fit again. Mitch Duncan's the only worry in an injury sense. But I reckon they stick with him, even in that that makes that forward line very big. I feel that Chris Scott loves him as much as any player on that list and wants to, I think, prove the competition that he was right in assessing him as a pretty good talent.
Had a big week, the Radigalia. His birthday during the week, only turned 21, maybe. Of course, kicked the most goals he's kicked now, four goals. But what I liked, he brought it to ground, didn't he, a couple of times, didn't mark it. And some of his marks, doesn't he clunk them beautifully?
No, he's the other thing, Bill, is the danger.
So he just missed
a bit, and then he just slowly came back. Yeah. He's right back.
So he's finding some nice form and kicking goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other one's Reece Stanley, I reckon, going along nicely. If he just keeps going along nicely, the Cats go even
You're a big fan of Reece Stanley, Bill, aren't you, when he plays well?
When he's going well.
Yeah.
No doubt. No doubt about that. Richmond, to me, they have dropped off, and we know they've got injuries and all that. So,
we'll get to them on the other side of the equation. Soon. The other big winner, and it just franked what they'd been doing and what they were set up to do, is the Bulldogs' performance against Melbourne. I know Melbourne was inaccurate and Ben Brown was the culprit there, but the control that they had on that game for most of it was impressive. We've seen enough from Bontempelli since.
Wins the Brownlow, Bontempelli.
I reckon he wins it quite easily, Jim.
The best footballer in the comp.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you.
By some way.
Ollie Wines will get votes.
Yeah, but he's not in the same class as Bontempelli.
No,
his ball use. Those couple of entries late when he jammed it down the Ugelhagen's throat with the wrong foot.
Once with the wrong foot, with his normal left foot.
That's what separates him from the rest. His ball use is extraordinary. I thought Luke Beveridge had a really good night and week. The way he set that team up, we all looked at the lineup and thought, geez, they're going in tall.
Yep.
Threw Shacky back. That was an outrageous success.
Yeah.
And also, what I liked about it, Purple, and I've said this regularly, is you can't overpossess the ball in finals. That smart-ass handballing over your head and flicking it around, it's just going to come undone. Mm. That was gone. When the conditions were wet, they just stuck to what good sides do. I thought they were so impressive.
You're right, and the reference there to the Shacky had struggled at his time in the AFL, let's face it, particularly in recent years as a Bulldog, but they had a hole down back with what's been happening injury-wise with Gardner and Keith went down in the game, and the fact they'd had got him some time in the back line in the VFL scratch match arena. It just allowed them to then, okay, there's a bit of confidence, you go down there, and he might have to hold up the position for the remainder of the year. Whether he does or can, but is at least gives himself a chance to do so
And be part of a... But he's got to put a few together.
He does. He does have to. Yeah. But he wasn't going to get a spot in that forward line now that Ugal Hagen seems to be a preferred option.
Those two,
rain or no rain.
I'm with you. Geelong and Western Bulldogs, they were the big performances. You just got to win this time of year too, Bill.
Yes.
So Port Adelaide just win, Brisbane just win, West Coast just win, Sydney just win.
Yeah, and just banking them. The first three you mentioned, I reckon they just had to get through, didn't they? When Brisbane had lost the previous two against St Kilda and Richmond, and at half time against the Gold Coast, they were in a bit of trouble. But was it, Bill? 13 goals to 1 goal 5. After that point.
After half time.
You just got to get the win. West Coast did what he'd had to do against St Kilda. They played with a bit more urgency. That was noticeable. I still don't see it being finals winning worthy, but having said that, they're trying something different, and they had to because they were going nowhere.
Who's that? West Coast.
That was West Coast.
Are we on positives? Just in that
positives.
Game.
Yep.
Maxi King.
Yeah.
A breakout. That's a breakout game that he needed because you think back a month ago, couldn't kick goals.
It was against Geelong when he kicked 1-6 or 1-5.
Yeah, and he kicked what? 6-1. But 8 contested marks, and they were all bloody good marks. So that's a big game for him, Jim. He just goes further now.
But he does the hardest thing in footy, and that's mark it inside forward 50.
Yeah.
The accuracy, I think, will come. As he emerges as a player, but if you've got a player inside, what, Rabs, 40 games? How many's Maxi played? He wouldn't have played that many.
It wouldn't be 40 because he missed his first year in the system, didn't he, with a knee? So
if you're taking the marks, he's taking inside 50 week on week. He is just going to be a blue blood, no doubt about that.
Don't know why McGovern didn't go to him, though. Yeah. But he
never does.
Yeah, 35 games for Max.
35, so that is very impressive.
I tell you what, impressive. North Melbourne, Jim, your mob.
Well, we'll get to them in a sec. Sydney as well, talking about just winning. They weren't great in the first half. But they fixed it up and are just doing the right things.
They do it with a conviction, don't they, Jim? And it's there's a desperation with every chase on a ball. There's a desperation when they've got the ball themselves, and they've just got faith in each other to spread off and pair off, and they just know where they are meant to be with or without footy. And there are a couple of times they just hunted the Dockers, particularly in that second half. As we speak, we don't know what the match review office adjudication is on Buddy Franklin. I feel he's going to miss a week the way they seem to be judging those things this year. And I don't think that's the worst thing for Buddy personally. He's been up for most of the year, Bill. And that's a surprise given what he'd been unable to do in previous years, that being all of 2020 missing and the most of the back half of 2019. So he's been
great. What about
the
clean cut, Isaac?
How good is he? Yeah.
Mate,
and some of the marks he's taken. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that. Speaking of positives, the three marks over the weekend. Yeah. And well called, got a bit high there at one stage.
Not Lakeman,
yours, Jim.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I actually referenced that myself.
I know. We referenced yesterday on the Sunday footy show, actually. We all had a chuckle over you.
Cody Waitman over Maxi Gorn, you're referring to.
DeConing
was great.
And Heaney.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
How are you ranking those three, Bill, out of the weekend?
Waitman's Heaney, I've got Waitman. DeConing.
Yeah. And just on that conversation, Jim, I've still got Revold, the best of 2021. It's been a great year for high marks.
Been.
You've got Revold, you've got
I love Shea Bolton.
O'Brien in the same goal square as Shea Bolton, but I've got Revold.
I got Bolt.
Yeah, hey, traditional big hangers. That is just magnificent.
Just on the Cody Waitman marker, we might have it here. Have a listen to Jim.
Cody Waitman! Maxi Gorn's a poster once again.
See, you try and set
Gorn
it up.
Almost smiled. Sucked in, that's fat. About the fourth time someone sat on my head.
Sucked in, fat.
That's not
see,
you.
That's good.
That is
that's
so
you trying to be a smartass.
Who jumps in and says we got the mark here.
Purple, we move on to North Melbourne. And they got so bad at the first half of the season, we actually didn't reference them either way.
Just didn't talk.
We didn't even talk about it. But the thing we have said is, and not just me, you and Bill, we've said their kids are good.
Yes.
Davies Uniacke's good. Taron Thomas is good. I think Powell is going to be a really good kid.
Are we talking about Nick Larkey still as a kid?
Nick Larkey, no. And Simpkin, no. They've advanced a little further than that, but they're both beauties. So
7 goals for Nick Larkey.
They have got the young group is good.
Yeah. And Jim, it was the turning point was the round 9 game against Hawthorn. And from that moment on, Bill, they've gone 4 wins, 5 losses and a draw from that time on. And all their numbers obviously correlate with that scoreline and that form line. It's been a significant back half turnaround for that footy club.
But you've played them, Damo.
You do.
You do. Because they go pretty hard. They're a pretty hard side when you look at Cunners and
the Zoo.
The Zoo and all
the
that.
The Zoo just wants to hurt people.
Yeah, he does. And he hurt himself.
He did hurt himself.
But personal bests on the weekend, Larky 7.
Yep.
Taran Thomas, 4. Bailey Scott had his best game.
He might have, possessions. Yeah.
And the third quarter where they kicked 7. I like North. I thought they were
a bit
good.
Out of Phillips.
And Stevenson. Three goals and just that element of class which every forward line needs. And you need to cut him some slack for those games he doesn't perform in. So, yeah, really, really like. Just want to give mention to Lockie Whitfield, given he started the season. So, unfortunately, with that kidney or liver damage, wasn't it, that he had in an off-season training mishap. But he just has not missed a beat since he's come back in. Had he played the full season, he might be being talked about, as we are with Bontempelli and Wines when it comes to the massive votes.
Or if he played with a Melbourne side, a bigger Melbourne side.
Well, that won't stop him getting Brownlow votes, though, playing for GWS.
No, but we talk about
him. Talk about him, yeah.
And see him a lot more.
Yeah, and Tom Green, too, to be dropped twice within the season, and I think now is a standout candidate for the Rising Star Award. It just goes to show how much impact he's having.
That's a very good performance from them. Are we going to get to the other side of that game? Yeah. Because, my goodness, the hell happened to the Bombers?
The Rush Hour, Triple M.
This is Damo's Recovery Session on Triple M's Rush Hour.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour, and Damien Barrett is in the studio to chat round 19.
All right, so we've got one spot available in the eight.
Yes.
And it is wide open, the eighth spot.
There's four spot, four teams
four
going.
Four teams. Yep. Essendon could have almost shut the gate yesterday, and my goodness, what happened to them?
I don't know.
Three goals up at half time, and then kicked one more goal for the game.
Yeah. Maybe that's where they're at, Jim. Maybe the surge they've been on is not the true Essendon. Maybe what we saw yesterday is, and they've left themselves with a bit of work to do now, haven't they? And it's an opportunity totally missed.
Ben Rutten turned around afterwards and said we'd just be making up the numbers even if we got there, which is a pretty strong comment.
They would be if they dished up the second half of yesterday. I don't subscribe to that view because I think their good has been at least finals worthy. Now, whether it's finals win worthy, I can't lay claim to that. But I like what they've done, but again, they're a young team. I want to cut them some slack. I know you're not happy with them yesterday.
Just because of what was on the line.
Yeah.
They almost locked that spot away.
Yep. And then GWS, as we touched on before, seized that moment and got themselves back into the eight. Richmond, Bill, tell me what you're going to do with selections when it comes to these next four matches for the Tigers. Fremantle?
What do you mean? What am I going to do?
Are you going to tip
the
Richmond?
Win. Yep.
North Melbourne?
Yes.
GWS?
Not sure about that one.
And then Hawthorn.
They should win three of them.
I reckon if they win three of them,
gets them in.
Yeah.
And if they win four, and then let's face it, they're going to start either favourite or not that much of a long shot against GWS in the third of those four games. So I've still got them making the finals.
Yeah, okay.
So for that reason, what happens there, who knows? But they've left themselves with a heap of work to do. I want to touch on St Kilda. It was indicative and almost summed up their entire season with Rowan Marshall being unavailable for that game for exposure to COVID. It just, to me, summarised them and how things have gone against them in 2021. Him being unavailable for that reason, they lose the game by 8 points. Maxing has a breakout game. They can't capitalise and win. Or even if he plays, they probably do win. It just, to me, just goes to show this club's on the verge of it, but for reasons that they can control some, but not when it comes to Marshall, have just been unable to get on any form of a role substantial enough to get him in.
I'm with you. After winning a final last year, Bill, they should have been looking at top four, pushing towards it.
Yes.
Now, whether they got there or not, you know, maybe, but they should have been really having a crack at getting a double chance this year, and now they're going to miss entirely unless they have a huge finish. They'll be disappointed.
They would be, no doubt about that.
A couple of massive losses early days in the first half of the season. Yeah, a couple of 90 points plus and even 100 points it was. Just to mention, too, to Fife, to me it's been really hard watching him this year, knowing how sore he is and knowing how time he goes for the ball, that shoulder can
shower
pop out.
Shower up and that's it.
Yeah, and it popped out again yesterday. Yeah. It's the third time it's happened this year, and it's probably the 15th time it's happened to him in his career. And I guess there's some players who need to be protected from themselves sometimes. Yep. And now the decision's been taken away from everyone's control. The body now says, he's not going to play again this year.
It was an ugly incident. Getting kicked.
It was a horrible-looking thing. You just see how much pain he was racked with, but he just wasn't going to show it, was he? And that's indicative of what that man's about. Pendlebury, too, on another matter, fractured leg against Port Adelaide when he got tackled, and he's out for the year too. So, and then the replacement expected for him as captain, Taylor Adams, was also banged up. So, I hope he's okay. He's banged up.
Hey, Collingwood weren't bad considering.
No, they weren't.
Considering they're a young side and they lose Pendlebury. I thought they were right. They had a go.
Yeah, but they could still finish Wooden Spooners, Bill. They're only 2 points ahead now of North and Hawthorn.
So can Hawthorn, by the way.
Yeah, and Collingwood and Hawthorn play each other in the remaining four games. Cool. And so that will shape that. The big disappointment, though, and I've deliberately left them to this point, Jim, was David Teague and Carlton. We're now five games into the review, or since the review was called. Five matches have now been called. And David Teague's 46 matches in charge of the Blues, if that wasn't the worst of the 46, it's in the quinella, I would think. So produce that performance at this stage of this season, not good for him.
You let the worst team in the comp rattle seven on unanswered. Mm. If you're a decent footy side, that shouldn't happen.
No.
I mean, you can get beaten sometimes by the bottom side, that's fine, but you don't allow that to happen in game. That just means something is horribly wrong.
It does, and you cut him some slack with Harry Mackay being unavailable, but that doesn't allow or justify, as you said, that sequence of goals that North kicked. And
does he look defeated?
Yeah, he does.
Teague, when he's interviewed now, I reckon.
Well, every single post-match press conference he conducts, he mentions the word belief, and he mentions we are going to make finals. But there's no belief because they're not showing it. For yet again, they're going to miss finals.
Yes,
and the finals that he refers to just keeps being pushed out into the future. And eventually, he's not going to be part of that future of that footy club. And
you'd like to see him fire up or something, wouldn't you?
I believe he does internally, Bill.
No, just get these presses because they're very dull.
They are. They're not inspiring, are they, to supporters? To supporters. But, Jim, the fact that Luke Say's called this review when he did it, it was a little bit of a left-field move, wasn't it? The way it was received was a bit surprising to a few people on the outside, but it's a smart move because had he not done it, there would have been calls for him to do it and have to do it right now.
At least they're
down the track with it.
The only thing with reviewing, Purple, I don't get is why you need to make it public.
Yeah, you've always said that.
If someone says to you, are you going to review your footy department, function, you should say, as the chairman, we do it every year,
which
every decent footy club
and
does. Some do it twice a year.
You said that every year when you're in charge of it.
So we are constantly reviewing what we're doing. So you don't have to make it public and therefore make the findings, if they're not public, why are you hiding them? If they are public, well, then it looks horrible. Well, you shouldn't actually end up in that position.
But
do you
it for the supporters?
Or do you do it for yourself? Coming in as chairman, replacing Marco Giudice, trying to distance yourself, even though you were on the board,
We did a review, and this is what we're having.
I admire it though because it's going to be really hard to sell hope going into 2022 again with the same structure of people. Now, whether David Teague is still part of that structure or not, at least if he does survive the review, at least the club can say, "Well, we've totally researched it, and we're going to give him one more go." But had they not called it, it would have been worse. Melbourne. They've just lost their luster, haven't they?
A little bit.
You look at them and they're still third
can't
on the
score.
Ladder, aren't they?
They
so
can't score.
You take that, I think, at the start of the year. Certainly you take that at the start of the year. If someone said to Melbourne, after round 9 you're going to be third, you take it. But unfortunately, they were the tearaway leader for a large part of the year. There's nothing scary about that team, is there? The back line is still the key part of it, but clubs have worked away into that space these days without Lever and May being dominant, and they've still got massive issues up forward without the main focus point.
They can't score.
Yeah.
That's their problem.
That is a good point, Bill. Well, the last 5 weeks, they just haven't been able to.
Benny Brown missing didn't help. I mean, I don't know what's going on with him because he used to never miss. And now he looks like a 50-50 proposition at best.
And had he kicked those two early, you just don't know how that game unfolds.
And then kicked one out the bounds on the full, which missed the target by close to 50 metres. It went hard right.
The one that went,
I mean, how do you kick it that badly? For a guy who kicks so beautifully for so much of his career, I don't know what's going on. But he actually, outside of that, I thought had a bloody good game.
There was a presence there, but ultimately there were two goals only when it's all said and done, and they lost the game before.
They've got some resetting to do. Not bad, maybe. You get a little short back and sides a month out and you can work out what you're not doing well enough and then get to September with a few things sorted out maybe.
Yeah, I'm just not as confident that they're going to sort it out though, Jim. I think they've been exposed and to this point of this pressure patch that they've now endured, I haven't seen enough of a response to think it's going to naturally flow into it.
Yeah, I haven't lost faith in them, but I do think they do need to fix some things
the
up.
The bus is coming up, which I look forward to because you had a go at Damo last week.
I just thought, maybe it had to go.
Damo said, I'm keeping it at Carlton and we got some audio, I think we have.
Is the bus that's been parked there for the best part of 2.5 years, after that meritorious win against their arch rival, is it going anywhere? Hit it, rabbits.
It's a good point, Jim.
It's on blocks, that bus.
You've actually caught me off guard.
It hasn't got any wheels.
You know what?
It's been left there that long.
I'm leaving it there.
Oh!
No, Damo.
I'm leaving it there.
No.
I just want to see it again. I nearly buckled, Jim, but I'm glad I held firm.
Well, they're your buses. You can put them wherever you like. You decided not to move it, and my God. That is so. What happens now?
Well, we put another one down there.
Another one. You're sending another one.
That one that's been on the blocks. We can't move it. It's actually part of the. It's actually got heritage listing down there now, and we're going to send another one down there for a bit of company this week because there's a bit going on there. I think
it's got that. The first bus has got people living in it.
Yes,
like into the wild. Yeah, it's actually got residents in the bus.
The coach into the wild.
Oh, Bill.
I think he's got the sleeping bag in his.
Oh.
I got something for you, Dan.
All right, come on.
Round 19 just completed.
Yep.
Do you know this time last year, with the hub and up in the Gold Coast, we just completed round 9.
There you go. Wow.
It's unreal, isn't it? So they must have played a lot of footy. You kind of forget how much was played.
Well, it went into late October.
Yeah, October 24 was the grand final date, and they had that footy frenzy, didn't they, on two or three different occasions. So,
what's going on this weekend, by the way? Do we know?
Not yet. No, again, as we speak, there's expectation that the Friday night game will be the St Kilda Carlton game, which doesn't engender a lot of... razzle dazzle in me, Jim, when it comes to it. But the
Richmond are flown to Perth,
yeah, they've got a quarantine in some sorts, and then Eagles over there. And the 5-day breaks that each club has said yes, we can have one of, and the AFL Players Association has ruled against any club having a second one. So it's really limiting what they can do and can't do with the fixture. But as it stands, the Essendon Sydney game that's penciled in for the Friday night game won't be in that slot the way we read it, but that will be official at some stage of today or tomorrow.
All right, thanks for that, Purple. Always great to see you.
Thanks, Jim.
Damo's recovery session.
This is the Rush Hour, JB and Bill. Up next, Bill's joke, which, well...
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
It's the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, Marco, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
On your home smart speaker.
Hey, Google.
And on your radio. This is Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Bill.
Let all it out.
On tomorrow's show,
one
of the most informed players of the competition. Tuke Miller.
Yes.
Star.
I like it.
He might nearly poll the most votes, but can't win it, of course. Been a big show, Jimmy boy.
Yes, it has.
A couple of new segments and some bit of audio in there. I really like the medal update.
Yeah. Gold.
That's for gold.
Yes.
Silver. You got the silver. That's yours, Jim. And then the bronze, I'm not sure about.
You sure?
Yes, we're not sure.
No. So, Bill, just a show, but what we'll do is we'll polish it up over the course of the big event in Japan.
You can't polish it.
That's Bill's assessment of his own show.
I know.
You can't polish it.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
But I can finish it with very good joke.
Let's go.
Everyone walks away.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
And they're happy. Jim, what has two grey legs and two brown legs?
What?
An elephant with diarrhea.
Oh, no. What? So he's pooed on his legs.
You don't have to explain it. Everyone knows what that
That's
means.
That's what it is.
Poor old elephant.
Yeah.
Didn't know he's walking away. Thinks he's a chance.
Chance.
Going over. He's found a herd over there.
I reckon when you've got diarrhoea, you're thinking about getting the option.
Well, he thought he was a chance.
Come on.
Saw the old Mrs. Elephant. And no good now. Jimmy's out.
Oh, no.
You know, elephants can't jump.
I think it'll dump to Harry Cooper in there.
Elephants and rhinoceroses.